ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि चच्छिपुत्रमत्रस्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजम् उरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशम् प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथित कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साक्षातं सहगण रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विता। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is the Telugu translation set up? Ah. So these boys, they don't know English. You know English, Kunjabi Hari? Kuncham Kuncham. Not even Kuncham Kuncham. Huh? So just I'll say a few words first of all for the benefit of whomsoever may be watching this talk on YouTube or whatever. You may be wondering why it's not very light. Of course in India there are many power cuts, but it's not due to a power cut. We don't have any problem with power cuts here on this farm because we don't have power. It doesn't get cut. We don't have electricity. It's self-imposed, or voluntary, no electricity. That's just our policy here on this farm. We have a series of farms here throughout India where we have, as a policy, no electricity. So everyone in the evening comes together and has kirtan, chants Hare Krishna, and hears something about Krishna, and then goes to sleep early and gets up early in the dark and goes on chanting Hare Krishna. So that's why. The light here is from castor oil lamps. Lamps means it's most basic. Deepam. And that castor oil was also from castor plants grown here, is it? Is it? Okay, very good. That's what Prabhupada said. Grow castor plants and make oil, and from this you get light. Okay. Vishnu Sahasranam name 618 is Shrikara. I've been, several names I've been speaking on just now in this verse. All these names, they are preceded by the term Shri, which means opulence, and it means Lakshmi or Radha. So it's an opportunity again in this name to glorify He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why is He the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why such a title is given to Him? Due to His qualities. We call a rich man, we call a billionaire because he has $1 billion. It usually means $1 billion, not ₹1 billion. Or we call a tall man, because he is physically taller than most other people, and so on. So why do we call someone the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because they have the particular qualities which are pertinent to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means he has all... Aishvaryasya Samagrasya, this verse I'm saying again and again in this series. Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Sriyaha Jnana Vairagya Yoshchaiva Shandang Bhagatingena. All wealth, all strength, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, all renunciation, they are all in that person. If anyone has this, he has to be called the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All strengths, all power. So that can only be one person, because if you have all of anything, that means others don't have it, right? If you have all the money in the world, that means no one else has any money. You may say, well, others are people, they may not be as wealthy or strong or beautiful as Krishna, but they have some wealth, strength, knowledge, and so on. But it's understood that whatever anyone has, it's simply gifted to them by Krishna. That's all. Yadyat vibhuti matsatvam srimad urjitam evava tata deva avagangshatvam mama tejong sa sambhavam. Whatever Krishna says, whatever opulence you see in this world is simply manifested from a little part of my great opulence. So it's another great opulence to glorify him and to glorify her. Shri means both all the great opulences and qualities that typify the personality of Godhead, and she, the goddess, who also has all these qualities in full. So if he has all the strength, how can she also have all the strength? That just contradicts what I just said, right? Cannot be one person. Yeah, so they're actually one person in two. Radha Krishna ek bastu nahi kichu bed. What is that? Lila ashradite korin kichu bed. Radha purna shakti, Krishna purna shaktiman. Dvi bastu bed nahi shastra paraman. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita it's established that Radha and Krishna, they are one, and she manifests the opulence in all the opulences in a female way, and he does so in a male way. So we're glorifying these names which have Shri, Shrida, Shridhar, Srinivas, all these names, Shrisha, and the verses there, they all glorify he and her. So we can glorify him. He's so great that she is interested in him only. Now who are you glorifying most here? If you say he's so great, you can see he's so great because she's interested in him. You're actually glorifying her more than him. You follow that? Oh, he's so great because she's interested in him. That means he must be really great because she's the greatest of all. If we can say that, well, she's really great because he's interested in her. He has her as his eternal consort. So in this way, there may be argument going on. Well, who's actually the greatest? And it will go on and on and on. And there's no conclusion. Or someone say, no, there is a conclusion. He's the greatest. So say, no, she's the greatest. And it will go on. Loving quarrels between the followers of Radha and Krishna. But actually they're both simply want to see both of them happy. Because they know that Radha's happiness is in Krishna and Krishna's happiness is in Radha. Now I can't... Okay. Now, one point in discussing all these opulences of the Supreme Lord, this Shrikara, let's get to this name, Shrikara. Shri means opulence or great quality. Shri means Lakshmi, Radha. And Kara means who makes, or it can mean hand also. So, one meaning, all the opulence, everything's in his hand. There's a saying in Sanskrit, which we sometimes see in Bhagavatam and other scriptures, hastamalakanyai. It means to have, amalaka means this amla fruit. You all know what amla fruit is. It probably has a completely different name in Telugu. Not mango, amla. That, you got it, okay. So, if you get one in your hand, it just fits nicely in the hand, doesn't it? Maybe not the young boys, but in an adult. You can hold it very, it's just the size, you can hold it very nicely in your hand. You can catch it, you can completely hold it, it won't drop, it's not too big, you can hold it very nicely. So hastamalakanyai means you've got something in your grip, it's completely under control, or it can mean you completely understand something. In English the saying is there also, you grasp something. So to grasp something means to hold it. It also means to understand, to catch the gist of some proposition. So he has all opulence in his, it's just for him, it's just a completely natural and normal thing. Just like if you have to pick up one amalaki. It's not that you think about it, okay, I have to go for a 4-year course in the university, how to pick up an amalaki. It's not, it requires no training whatsoever. It's just a very, very easy thing to do. So in the same way, for him to have all strength, knowledge, beauty, wealth, fame, renunciation, it's just normal and natural for him. Whereas for us, someone in this material world, we want to imitate the Supreme Lord. We want to think, Ishvaroham aham bhogi, siddhoham balavan suki. We like to think, I am the controller. I am happy. I am powerful. I am perfect. I am everything, all we like to see. But to get that position, to get a position where we can dominate others, we can only do so in a very small way compared to Bhagavan. But so much endeavor we have to make. Someone who's in a position, they're always afraid someone will take away my position. They're always in anxiety, chintam aparimeyam cha. They're always the demons who are trying to take the position of God. They're always in anxiety. If they get a little control over others, or if they can do something a little better than others, they become very proud. Or even if they're not better than others, they just imagine they are. They become very proud. But at the same time, their pride, they're proud, but at the same time, actually in their heart, they're full of anxiety. Just like Ravana, he was so proud. Oh, I see this. I'll take the benediction that no god, no gun, all different living beings, that they can't kill me. But he didn't take for human beings. Just like you don't take a... If we wanted a benediction, we wouldn't say, I take a benediction that no ant will kill me. It's a ridiculous idea, because an ant's not going to kill you. It's just too insignificant. So Ravana was very proud, but then when Ram was attacking human being, and then the monkeys were attacking, and one by one, Ravana's sons and brother and great commanders, they were killed, but still he was very proud. See, they're only humans and monkeys. We eat them for breakfast, so What are we getting worried about? But there's all reason to get worried. And actually in his heart he was worried, because he was saying, they can't overcome us, but they were overcoming them. But at the same time, because of pride, no, they can't do anything to us. You see, my son defeated Indra, what to speak of me? So this pride, which blinds the consciousness, so one can't see things, can't understand things at all. So those who, in this material world, anyone gets a little opulence and they become very proud, I'm so great. Then they become very hard-hearted. You see, I'm better than you. There's my competitor. Now what am I going to do? I have to try and pull him down or make some propaganda and make him look bad. They become very... This pride makes one very hard-hearted. Whereas Krishna Bhakti, we're praising Krishna for being so great. We're not trying to be great like him. And Krishna is very sweet and soft-hearted because he has all the opulence. It's not that he tries to... It's not that he has to try to get opulence, because she's always in his hand. She's... One other meaning is he accepts her hand in marriage, so she's in his hand. Even that's one word for marriage, isn't it, in Sanskrit and probably in Telugu also. Panigrahan, to accept the hand. In English you also say to accept someone's hand in marriage. It's an antiquated kind of saying. So it's just all wealth, strength, knowledge, everything is just naturally with him. He doesn't feel proud. It's just like, would you go to a group of, you see some ants and you tell them, see, I'm the lord of this village. And what are you going to say to the ants? What's the difference between you and the ant? So the same thing between Krishna and us. There's such a great gap between him and us, then who's he going to advertise to? We're so much lesser than him, then it's meaningless for him to proclaim his greatness. Still he does, just to let us know, actually, aham sarvasya prabhava, everything comes from me, not from you, it comes from me. But then what do you do? Iti matva bhajante mam. Oh, then once you know that, then we have to worship Krishna. And that should make the heart very soft, like Krishna. To understand that I'm not all-powerful, I'm never going to be all-powerful, but Krishna is very, very... He's all-powerful, he's very, very merciful, he's very, very kind. Even though I'm very small, he's very great, he accepts me. So in this way, we become grateful to Krishna for his mercy upon us, for his accepting us, even though we are so much inferior to him. So his nature is very sweet and soft and loving, and he can get violent also for his devotees. But when we're hearing about this, again, that relationship between Sri Radha and Krishna, it's a loving relationship. So this is bhakti to Krishna. It's all about love and sweetness. It's not the sweetness or the love of this material world. This is the crux, the gist of Vaishnavism. Madhurja Bhagavatasa, as stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that sweetness is the essence of Godhead. So this differs very much from those religious systems in which they emphasize very much God is very great, but then they say, okay, God is very great and he's on our side and he's going to kill everyone and kick them into hell. So their religion actually seems to make them more hard-hearted and not loving toward others. They say God loves, but it's something like the love of a tiger who loves the tiger in the forest. The tiger loves her own cubs and kills all the other may kill all the other animals. So it's not a complete understanding of the personality of Godhead. And it this kind of religion where we see God's great and He's on our side, it may tend to make the heart more hard-hearted. So Vaishnavism means to be soft-hearted in this material world. We may have to be somewhat hard to serve Krishna, because if not, we'll be taken advantage of. But basically, we should understand, we should think, I'm very lowly and small, Krishna is very great, the Vaishnavas are very great, let me... they're so kind to extend their mercy to me, so let us accept their mercy and be happy. Krishna wants his devotees to be happy. That doesn't mean we engage in sense gratification, but we can be happy in kirtan, glorifying Krishna, remembering Krishna, as Radha and Krishna are happy. And they come together as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give their happiness to the whole world. And we're so fortunate, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received through Srila Prabhupada, that we are able to partake in the happiness of Krishna consciousness. So several meanings are given by the acharyas who have commented on this. Shrikara, he makes Lakshmi follow him. Now what does that mean in this context? Well, she's in his hand, and wherever he goes, she goes. So when he comes as Ram, she comes as Sita. When he comes as Krishna, here the commentators, they say she comes as Rukmini, not Radha, they say Rukmini. There may be some disagreement there. Even one of our friends, a well-known Sri Vaishnava preacher and guru here in the Telugu-speaking area, it came to the attention that he was saying, oh, Radha, we don't accept Radha. So anyway, all right, Rukmini, you don't accept Radha, well, okay, all right, just... All right, you just close the door a little bit and we'll go inside to Vrindavan. And all right, you're in Vaikuntha and Dwaraka. And anyway, what do you expect from people from Dwaraka? They say things like that. We're not going to argue with them. You know, they're from Dwaraka. What do you expect? You know, they love Krishna in that way. They're not going to say, what is this? Krishna, Radha, we don't say Radha. All right, okay. You stay in Dwaraka and we'll be in Vrindavan, and sometimes we'll meet in Kurukshetra. They met in Kurukshetra, Dwaraka Vasis and Bridge Vasis. They didn't fight. Fighting came later. They were actually appreciating, and especially as described in Bhagavatam, how the Dwaraka Vasis were appreciating the Vraja Vasis. And they didn't want to, they went there for the solar eclipse, which is just for a few minutes, but they spent months and months because the Vrajavasis didn't want to leave Krishna, and then Vasudev made some yajnas and this and that, and it went on for several months, and every day they'd say, okay, we better go, all right, yeah, we better go. And then they'd say, no, just stay one more day. And it went on for months. So they love each other, but sometimes there's a little bit of a disagreement. We shouldn't worry too much. It's a family quarrel. Of course, the Pandava Kaurava fight, that was a family quarrel also. But it did. Anyway, in this Kali Yuga, Vaishnavas, they at least in this part, it's not recommended. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't recommend killing. Although, if you go back a little more, Sri Vaishnavas will find this. Tirumangai Alva. And anyway. We're remembering Radha and Krishna. So wherever he comes, she comes with him, because It's not like in the modern age where they get married and they get unmarried and they marry someone else, and it's not like that. They're eternally linked. We have the pastimes of Krishna kidnapping Rukmini. She was going to be married to Shishupal. Did you hear that? She was going to be married to Shishupal. There's no question, it's not possible. It's not possible. The whole earth would just sink back again into the Garbhodak ocean rather than before she married. There's no way she's going to marry Shishupal. But for the Leela, it appeared like that. She's the eternal consort of Krishna. She's not going to marry this snotty-nosed person who's always blaspheming Krishna. No way! The same with all the other queens. They're all his eternal associates. So it's fixed already. And it in the pastimes, the Leela, it appears as if that it appears as if Krishna wins their hand, or they volunteer Yamuna. She's performing austerities so I can get the hand of Krishna. But she's eternally the consort of Krishna. So it's said that they get married to Krishna, but well, you could say Krishna remarry. He remarries the same woman again and again and again. How many times has he married Rukmini? How many times? You can't count, because he's again and again and again in different universes manifesting the same or similar pastime. So, but he never divorces her, but he just marries her again and again. How do you do that? Well, you don't do it. Krishna does it. He can do that kind of thing. We can't do it. So don't even think about it. But of course, if you want to, if you love your wife, you can live with her forever. You just have to become Vaishnavas and then you can go back to the spiritual world together. So in that sense, if you transfer your material arrangement into some spiritual arrangement and worship Krishna together, then you can go back to Krishna together. So he makes, so Sri Kara means Sri is in the hand, and Sri, he makes, so he makes her follow him. Although, if you want to put it around the other way, you could say that she makes him follow her. Just like Krishna got the letter from Rukmini, he didn't have any choice. He had to go. You see, what can I do? You see, residents of Vrindavan saying, why didn't you come back? Well, I got this letter from Rukmini, what could I do? She's a poor girl, and she's going to commit suicide if I don't marry her. And what could I do? I had to marry her. I had no choice. I had to go and take her away from all the kings. So, who's in charge here? Who's the boss? It's difficult to understand. He's the boss. But, it's like any common marriage, that he's the boss, but, yeah. In public, he's the boss. That's all. I'll leave it to you to fill in the purport of that. So, what am I going to say? We say he makes her follow him, but then he glorifies her. He makes her opulence manifest in the world. He wants to see that she is glorified. So, and that's another meaning. Shankaracharya gives a very nice commentary on this name, Sri Kara. He says, Smaratam, Stuvatam, Achyatam, Cha Bhaktanam, Shriyam Karoti Iti Sri Karaha. He is called Sri Kara because he gives Sri. He makes Sri, he makes opulent. Those, his devotees, it specifically says his devotees who remember him, glorify Him and worship Him. And that means in all ways, those who perform His bhakti. He makes them opulent. He gives to them Shri. And the further commentary is that He gives the Shri, the Nitya Shri. What is the Nitya Shri? The eternal opulence. And that is in the general understanding which the commentators give, is that He gives moksha. And of course the Vaishnava commentators, they understand that to mean that moksha means to go to the spiritual world to serve Lakshmi and Narayan together. Although the Gauriya Vaishnava understanding is that Shuddha Bhakti, one of the qualities of Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service, as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is moksha laghutakrit. Makes moksha seem very insignificant. That moksha which is aspired for, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Anyway, it comes automatically with bhakti, and devotees, they're not very interested in that. The devotees, just like in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya we're following here, Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnava, first commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, they give great importance to moksha because they see that as their real aim is kainkarya, that in the spiritual world you can serve the Supreme Lord and Lakshmi together. You can personally become their servant. But the Gauriya Vaishnavas, that whole idea of moksha, the idea that we want to get free from material contamination, there may be also the Gauriya Vaishnavas, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he became inimical to the very word moksha because of its impersonalist connotations. So devotees say that here in the material, if you want, I'll stay in the material world, I'll serve you here or there in the spiritual world, whatever you like. In other words, not praying to be liberated from material conditions, but praying for service in any condition. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning that he's taken her hand in marriage. So that's the meaning that he gives. Now Sri Kara, you can also say that his hand is auspicious. That's another way of saying it. Just like if you prefix some word with Sri, it's to emphasize that it's auspicious. Just like we say Sri Mridanga, Sri Guru, like that. So his hand is auspicious. Everything about him is auspicious. But especially by his hand, he gives benedictions. Ma Shuchaha, you've all seen, I presume, in Kanchipuram, there's the Varada Raja giving the best of all benedictions, has written on his hand, Ma Shuchaha. Don't worry, the benediction that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, if you fully surrender to me, I will relieve you from all sinful reactions. Ma Shuchaha. Do not worry. So his hand gives the he can give. He has in his hand all opulence. So with his hand he can give whatever. Material opulence, spiritual opulence. And for devotees, they're not so much interested in opulence per se, but they're interested in the opportunity to serve, because that's what makes Sri really Sri. What makes Sri, Lakshmi or Radha, so exalted is not exactly because she has all wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty and renunciation, but because she is the best servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That name Radha is derived, or it's understood from Aradhana. She is, what is that, Bhagavan Ishvara, Ishvara Hari? What is that? How does that verse begin? What is that from Bhagavatam? It doesn't directly say the name of Radha. I just forgot it now. But Radha, it indicates Radha, Bhagavan Ishvara, she who serves him the best. So the name of Radha comes from that. So she can bestow upon the devotee the greatest opulence of the opportunity to serve the them together. Also, his hand is very auspicious. It not only gives blessings, but it's described that after dancing Rasalila, the gopis were all very tired, and just by putting his hand on them, they relieved them of all fatigue. Similarly, after fighting 28 days non-stop with Jambavan was completely exhausted, and he thought, this must be Rama, there's no one else who can fight with me like this. He said, you must be Rama. Yeah, I'm Krishna. Yeah, Rama. No, I'm Krishna. Oh, Rama, yeah. Yeah, I'm Krishna. The same. So he was exhausted because he'd been there in Ramlila also. He was exhausted from fighting. He'd never been exhausted in fighting. He was fighting with the ravenous forces. He never became exhausted like that. And then Krishna just put his hand on him and restored him like that. So in this way, his hand is all auspicious. Generally, devotees, they approach Sri Charan, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord first. That is the proper etiquette for the devotees. And then everything about him is auspicious. Everything about him is sweet. So in this way he is Shrikara. He makes everything. He gives all opulence. Whatever opulence is there comes from him. That means material, spiritual. And he has in his hand all the opulence. He's in his hand is Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana. So these are a few thoughts on the name Shrikara. I'm still trying to remember that. Aradita Nunam Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. I've got it except the first word I'm missing. No, you're thinking of Aradhananam Sarvesham. That's another verse. This is the verse which gives the indicate. It refers to that gopi who worships him the best, which means Radha. Anyone? Usually look in the laptop and see. Quick. Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna means Radhe Krishna, Sri Krishna. Shrikara, another name for this Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna, all right. Vancha kalpatarubhyas chakibhyas sindhubhyas avicha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.